overwhelming.
Professional breakups.
Everybody's not a 2 a.m. friend.
I don't want to go to lunch with you anymore because you have a bad reputation up here.
It's not going to be a one-time deal. And then, woo, well, that was easy.
You know me, I'm a loner.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
The same people who cheer for you are the same people who cheer against you. Winning is a cure-all. Hey, don't do that. Your spirit doesn't know the difference. Hey, homies.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Woo, woo. So this morning, or this episode, we're going to talk about a very popular topic on social media, both good and bad, Mr. Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
So this is, just kind of some lessons that we learn from Tiger Woods' Masters win and how that can apply to, you know, all the things that we're trying to get done out here in this corporate homie community.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And I like Tiger Woods is such a complicated person because I like him as a golfer. I don't know Tiger Woods as a person, so I don't know if I like him as a person. He does things certainly that make me think that I don't like him. But there are lessons to be learned from the Tiger Woods winning of the Masters. So let's get into
right. And I also think that we are golfers and we have followed Tiger's professional and personal kind of celebrity rise, right, since we've been out of college, right? So it has been interesting to watch him go from being like amazing and like everybody loves him to like the depths, right? So yeah, let's kind of get into it. So
before we get to it, let's remind people who are not golfers just that Tiger Woods went, I think this is important, 11 years without a win. And he won on, what was it, April 14th. So I just don't want to assume everybody,
For the non-golfers, and before that 11 years, he was essentially the most dominant golfer on the planet. He is one win now away from the all-time win record. He's second behind Jack Nicklaus in total majors ever won, and he was just completely dominating the sport of golf for about 14 years before he kind of had the incident
before
and
the
went
drought.
Into the drought.
Right. I love so that. I just okay, think that so that's, yeah. That's, yeah, background.
That's
background.
Important.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Hence my first tip. The same people who cheer for you are the same people who cheer against you. And wait for it. When you win, we'll cheer for you again.
Come on, somebody. And that's Bible, right? Like.
Hosanna on Monday.
Crucify him on Friday. Resurrected on Sunday.
He arose.
Exactly.
Tell the good news.
Right. It's the way of life. It's the circle of life. And so you are absolutely right about that. Like, you really do need to understand, which is why I'm such a believer in you cannot pay so much attention to what people say about you. Because if you get involved in all of the praise, you have to get involved in all of the criticism. And being that involved in other people's thoughts and ideas about you will drive you crazy.
Right. And this is no different than you at work. When you are killing it at work, everyone says that you're the golden person, whatever you want to do and your career is next. And then if you have a slow season, people are questioning whether or not you have the skill set to even be at the organization. And so you just can't, the point of my tip is you can't let people get you too high or get you too low, because those, the same people's opinions swing so drastically.
That's right. And they're going to all, and that, and I like what you're saying, that will always be the case. So my first tip is people don't pay that much attention to you when you're down. So when Tiger won the Masters, my whole Facebook feed, my whole Twitter feed was consumed with Tiger Woods. But I hadn't heard anybody talking about Tiger Woods except for people who liked golf in forever. And so to me, it was a reminder that when you are in the wilderness, and like I said, I consider that 11 years that he went, like the wilderness, nobody was thinking about him. And so it goes back to why you don't get so excited when they all come out, when they come out, because they haven't been around. They didn't care about what was happening to you when things weren't good. Why are you paying so much attention to them now that everybody's, you know, shining on you now?
Back then they didn't know me. Now I'm hot. You all own me.
All up on me.
Back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all know me.
Right.
Come on, Mike Jones.
Come on.
But I that's funny because one of my tips is the exact same thing, which I said the road to recovery is lonely.
Right. Yes. So, it's the same thing. So, that's right.
So as you are grinding, as you are knee deep in the pits of your career and you're trying to get things done, maybe you have had a setback and you're trying to recover from that, understand you're going to be doing that alone. At most, you're going to have your immediate family. You will lose friends. You will certainly lose all of the entourage hanger on, the people who are just, you know, around for the ride. But that's a great, great, great tip. And I think for me, the best example of that is when I was in business school. You know, I was working full time and going to business school full time. And it was very lonely because I was knee deep in it. And so there weren't people around encouraging me saying, hey, hang in there, right? And it was almost all consuming. And anytime you're trying to come out of something or you're expanding, it's going to be an individual lonely grind.
That is a really good point. And like you said, it's not only are they not there to encourage you, they're not even asking, where are you? Nobody's even like, hey, haven't seen you on the scene in a minute. You good? You fall off? And people are just, you just off. You just off. And when you back on, you just back on.
Which is what my next tip is, which is winning is a cure-all.
Because love somebody. Everybody loves a winner.
So everybody now is like, think about this. Tiger Woods had not won in 11 years. Then he won in November. And then he won the Masters. And now they're like, everything's back on the table. He can beat Nicklaus's record. He might win 100 tournaments. You know, before it was like, he's never going to win again. Listen to me closely. Stephen A. Smith, he will never win again. He's broken.
I love that they've taken that Nike and Tiger went back and took all of the commentators and replayed it for us. Like the same, like you said, the same people who were criticizing me, here they are. Here's what they said just last year. Like not forever ago, yesterday. Yes, I like that. What'd you say? It's a cure-all.
And here's the thing. When he was in the depths, people talked about all of his personal challenges. When he won the Masters, they didn't say what those personal challenges were.
One word about the philandering.
You
drinking,
didn't hear that word.
The arrest.
What they said was he's overcome so much back surgeries, blah, blah, and then some personal challenges that he created for himself. But they didn't get into the specifics.
One big swoop. One big word swoop. Right. It is. It's a cure-all. Which takes me into my next point, which is a comeback is always available.
What did Jermaine Dupri tell Mariah Carey?
You just need a hit. Right. That's right. As the urban legend goes, Mariah Carey was worried that her career was over, and she starts working with Jermaine Dupri, and he's like, no one's career is ever over. You just need a hit record. And that's what you say, because winning is a cure. A comeback is always available. And so if you commit to a comeback, if you are in the wilderness, if you are down and out, if you are, you know, in a losing season, or you feel like you having, you know, you've been knocked down, you've got to be able to get back up. You just have to keep going. And imagine if Tiger had stopped playing. Imagine if he had stopped. You just got to keep going. So a comeback is available, but it's only available if you keep going.
Right. And I think this is great for the homies and all of us to be reminded that you can always persevere. You just have to stay in it. You have to keep practicing. You have to keep doing the work, whatever that is for you. You have to keep reading new books. You have to keep expanding your skill set. You have to keep honing your skills. But you can persevere, and a comeback is always available to you if you keep at it. It's like the whole Lotto slogan. You can't win if you're not playing.
You gotta play. You have to show up.
Stay in there. You gotta stay in there. You have to keep playing. And I know that we have definitely had to do this in our own careers, where you're like, no, I'm gonna keep doing this. And I know it doesn't seem like, from the outside looking in, it's just yielding the results, because it's not yielding the results today. Because it's gonna yield the results down the line.
Right. It's consistency that's gonna, you know, it's staying at it that's gonna change that.
I think that dovetails nicely into my next point. He was always still Tiger Woods. The talent was always still there. So as long as he could get himself back to where he was physically feeling better, it's not like the talent wasn't there. So it's the same thing for us at work. You have the skill set to be a lawyer or an architect or a banker. And so even if you're in a rough season, your talent, your skill set is still there.
I like that. Right. Don't forget that you're talented. Right. Don't forget that you have a talent, that you have a skill set. That's a really good point. And we do sometimes have to be reminded of that. And a lot of times it does take, I know for me, it's taken in my career, it's taken a change in circumstance. It's taken going to a new job. I know that happened for me once I changed jobs. And that's when I was like, oh, I'm having the same experience here. I'm having the same reaction here because I'm talented. It's me. I brought me. I'm talented. This is the gig. I'm going to make that dovetail. It's not my next point, but I'm going to skip around because you were talking about talent. Because one of my points was, but talent is not enough.
No, it is not.
In addition to being talented, you're going to need some grit. You're going to need some grind. You're going to have the desire to win. I say that because a lot of times people want to win, but they lack the desire to win. So they're already telling you why they won't be able to be successful. You're telling them about an opportunity you have for them at work, and they start telling you immediately, haven't done one thing on the project, about how maybe we won't be able to achieve this goal. And I believe that winners want to win. They have a desire to win. And if you don't have that, you need to get out the way and let the winners win. So you're going to have to be more than talented and put that that raw grit and hard work and hustle with the talent.
I love this point because, you know, again, just for the folks who may not be as intimately familiar with Tiger's story, you know, he had numerous back surgeries, which apparently was leading to him having the prescription medicine, which was leading to like all some other challenges that he was having. But at one point they were saying it was a struggle for him to like walk around, like get out of bed, walk around. And so, so that definitely takes grit to say, no, I'm going to get myself. I think for him, my understanding when I saw an interview is he was just trying to get healthy enough to be able to play with his kids, right? Like, I want to be able to run around and play with my kids. And then as he began to feel better, he said, well, maybe I can swing a golf club.
Maybe I can swing a golf club.
And I think it's the same way for us, right? But so kind of you have to be able to see what positive is coming out of that, what progress is being made. Because you're not going to go from the guy that can't get out of bed to winning the Masters in 6 months. And I remember when he first came back to the tour, people like, he's a shell of himself. And he would say things in the post-game interviews like, no, I'm pleased with where my game is. But he also knew where his game was coming from.
I love that.
So my next point is you have to find your joy, right? It is tough to have grit, perseverance, to have a comeback, if you're actually doing something that you don't like to do.
So, okay.
You're not going to be able to do it. So you have to find your joy. So sometimes when you're having a difficult situation and you need to have a comeback, you need to ask yourself, like, do I even like this? Because if there's no joy there, you're not going to grit it out and persevere and
get up
and,
early
and be,
right,
and be on a lonely road to recovery for something that you have no joy around.
Yeah. So that goes back to, you got to remember your why, right? Like you, that's a great point. You have to know what's driving that. And I definitely have had things like that in my career where, and I know you have too, where I thought I wanted to grind something out. It seemed really shiny, an opportunity. I went for it. Then when I got up close, saw what it was going to take to achieve that, I was like, no, I don't actually want to do that kind of law. I don't want to work at that kind of firm. I don't want to do that, you know, kind of work, because I'm not going to keep growing, keep going. I'm not going to grind it out, because the reward for me is not going to be enough.
Right.
And that's okay too, right? That's okay. Because like you said, I don't want to be, I don't want to sit, if, you know, we talk about this all the time. If being skinny requires that I never get to eat what I want, I don't want to be skinny. I don't. I'm going to always eat, you know, every now and again, and sometimes more than that, some catfish and spaghetti. I'm going to have pralines and cream ice cream. I'm not going to live a life where that's completely off the table. And if that means I'm bigger, so be it.
It's a decision that you've made.
That's right. Because like you said, I know what the discipline of God, I'm not willing to do that lonely road for that, not for that, but for other things. Yes. So my next point is how you speak over yourself matters.
Yes.
So because the road is lonely, because you can't, you know, just sticking with the things we already said, because you can't listen to what everybody else says, what you say over yourself is very important. How you speak to yourself is very important, because we already said you're going to be by yourself as you are on the road to comeback. You can't rely on what people said, because the same people who praise you are going to be the people who criticize you. So what you actually say over yourself, how you speak over yourself, is going to matter.
I love that. I think I shared with you a few weeks ago. I was making a self-deprecating joke about myself. And one of my friends, business associates in the community, said, "Hey, don't do that. Your spirit doesn't know the difference." And I thought that that was very, very powerful. It's kind of what you're talking about. Like, how do you speak over yourself? How you talk to yourself? You can do this. You've got this. I know these people don't believe in you, but believe in yourself. Like, how you speak to yourself matters. Okay, there's never been a Latina partner made at this law firm, but you're going to be the first. Right. You know,
I like that, Bimitra, because you're saying that even the way you joke about yourself.
That's right.
So when you say, oh, you know, let me get my fat behind up and go. Your spirit doesn't know you're joking. So your spirit just hears you calling yourself fat. Or when you say, you know, my non-performance self has got to get to work. Your spirit, again, I know what you're saying. I haven't thought about that. But your spirit doesn't understand it's a joke. It just hears the words
internalizing it.
Oh, wow. That's actually,
which is
really
why
powerful.
Everybody thinks it's corny, but that's why people give their children mantras. That's why people believe in affirmations, because it works. And let me say this, it also works when you're having a bad day. That's why we talk about having that hero file. It's the same thing. To drop that goodness in your spirit.
Right.
So if I'm Tiger Woods and I'm out swinging my club in the rain by myself without any cameras, everybody else has decided that my career is over, I might want to walk through my trophy room on my way to take my shower to remind myself who I am.
I'm a winner. Look at me and all my trophies. Look at me winning. I'm a winner. Deep down inside, there's an inner winner in here. I have to pull her out. I love that. Okay, so my next one is, you can teach an old dog new tricks. Part of why Tiger wins, why he comes back after 11 years, is he is constantly, he's changing his swing. He's looking for new ways to do old things. And part of our problem sometimes, and I know mine, is we think that what we did to become successful, you know, in 2002 is going to make us successful at work in 2019. And that's not true. You're going to have to find new ways to succeed. And so what made you successful as a young associate will not make you successful as a partner, will not make you successful as a senior partner. So you have to find, you know, learn. And so you may have to unlearn some things, relearn some things, but you have to teach yourself.
I love this point, and it's so true in athletics in particular, but it relates to work because, you know, the people, we can name athletes who did not have longstanding careers because I think about Sean Kemp immediately comes to mind. When he was no longer a 19-year-old right. explosive person who could jump out the gym, he did not develop a jump shot, so he didn't stay in the league as long as, say, Larry Johnson did because he was able to adjust. And so one of the reasons why we're still talking about Tiger Woods winning major championships into his mid-40s is because he has retooled his swing, even though the players have become younger and stronger and longer hitters. He's basically what he said, old man in them, course management, which is not how he won tournaments in 2000 and 2001.
No, right.
He was the young guy.
Because he was young.
And it's the same way for right. us at work. I don't know about your job, but we're always constantly getting new systems or doing some type of reorganization. And the people who dig in and say, "That I don't know how to do that. I'm never going to learn how to do that," they end up just not being there.
That's exactly right. So I think that, like I said, the Tiger Woods, he continues to provide lessons for us continuously, you know, both positive and, you know, cautionary. He's both a positive lesson and sometimes a cautionary tale. But these are some tips I think that'll help you at work and frankly, just kind of generally in life. And we appreciate all. We had a number of homies actually reach out to us and ask us if we were going to
do an episode about Tiger.
Talk about the Tiger Woods. Yeah, about Tiger. And so if you have something that you want, as we always say, feel free to send us an email at questions@corporatehomie.com. Or you can reach us on any of our social media and as always,
if you can find us on all social media platforms, Homie HOMIE, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And if you are enjoying the podcast, please share with your friends and coworkers, and also drop us a 5-star review because that's the currency of podcasts.
That's currency of podcasts. We're just currency of podcasts. And if you want us to come and speak at your organization, then please shoot us an email at info@corporatehomie if you'd like us to come out and speak to your organization. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.